Game on.
Game is on. The game is afoot.
Afoot? Abreast?
No, the game is afoot.
Afoot of what? Like 12 inches?
I'm pretty sure that's Sherlock Holmes.
What?
Or Watson.
Afoot?
The game is afoot, I think, is what Watson or Sherlock Holmes said in the cartoon.
You can be on foot.
Yeah. That it?
Sure. It's awkward.
Hello and welcome to episode 334 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me as always is...
Adam in beautiful Vancouver.
Is it beautiful finally?
Oh, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Everybody, I swear to you, if you don't live in Vancouver, we're all laughing at you right now.
We're having the amazing right now as well, but...
No, you're not in Vancouver, though. There's nothing.
You're still
nothing.
Laughing at me because you're a jerk. I understand.
Yeah, you might have nice weather, but you're not in Vancouver.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. My house costs a normal price. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Instead of the cost of 9 houses.
Yeah, but it's amazing right now. It's the perfect temperature. I don't know what, 24, 25 a day, clear sunshine. We've had a week straight of this, so it is awesome. You got everything you could possibly want.
Good for baseball, good for golf.
Good for golf, good for mountain biking.
Plus the Canucks have been golfing for months now.
Oh yeah, they're very good at golf. You could go up to the mountains and still find snow. Whistler's still got snow up at altitude. So anything you want to do, yeah, you got it right now in Vancouver. The beaches, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Now I'm finally happy to be back in Vancouver.
Yeah, and you're laughing at us.
Sure.
Wonderful. Amazon, so you're going to need some sunscreen.
Oh.
Like you specifically, an awful lot of it, I'm guessing. Like,
yeah, I got to keep
you have a hat.
I usually wear a hat, but if not, definitely need to keep the baldness well-treated.
Have you ever done that? You ever burned the skin on your head?
I have, one
that
time.
That can't be fun.
Learn that lesson the hard way. I was in a... dragon boating tournament. You know what that? You know what it is. The rest of the world probably doesn't. Google dragon boating. It's basically a paddling.
It's a cardboard canoe. Okay.
A very long boat that you paddle in a team of, I'm going to say it's something like 12. I haven't done it now for about 10 years. But big team event of paddling. And we were in a tournament, or regatta as they call them.
Of course they do.
And it would spend a few hours on the water with the bald head and
False
no sunscreen.
Creek.
Yep, False Creek. So sun just pounding on top of my head. And then the stuff that didn't hit my head directly bounced from the water into my face.
Bro.
So my head, it was like what you imagine, like when you see the skin of a snake peel off.
Yes.
It was like that. I basically peeled a whole layer of skin off the roof of my noggin.
Did you keep it?
No, I didn't. No. I curled it into a ball and I threw it at somebody. No, I didn't do that either. No, it was just, it was gross. It was grotesque.
Yeah. No, you're making it worse.
Yeah. So I learned my lesson and now I always either keep it covered or I don't dragon boat or I use sunscreen.
Guy I went to school with, his dad was bald when we were kids.
Okay, like balder than just regular bald?
Yeah, like he did not have to shave it bald. He was just bald.
It just did not grow.
Powder. It was like the kid powder.
but the adult version and less white?
I don't remember. I didn't put up a chart, but anyway, but he was bald. Like I think you shave whatever's left, right?
Yeah, I got the Bozo the Clown kind of that I still have to shave, yeah.
It would be cool if you were in Star Trek, but you're not, so you shave it. Okay. So he had none of that. He was just nothing.
That's a good reference, though.
We all, great.
I got that visual in my... Is it Picard?
I'm not too sure. I think it's the guy who wears the hair clip on his eyes. So this guy, word around the campfire was that when he graduated high school or college, I don't really care.
Okay.
Him and a bunch of his buddies went on a fishing trip, and just for a joke, he shaved his head before the fishing trip, like bald.
Right.
And then for the week or weekend or whatever, forgot the sunscreen.
Oh, no.
And burned it so badly that his hair never, ever grew back.
I don't think that's how it works, but maybe.
I don't know. But that was always a good story. Like, that always stuck with us. And it was like, all right. So we learned our lesson on that. Never, ever go fishing.
Okay. Never go fishing. Yeah.
That was the big takeaway. Just because you can get a fish at the Safeway. They have it.
If that was the case, forget the laser hair removal and just, you know, I'll just bake the arms out in the sun at the beach next time.
Yeah.
And hairless. I'll be hairless.
I tried it on my back. It did not work. Yeah. I shaved a number 8 into my back and then tried it. And that way I figured I don't even have to wear a jersey. I can just play with no shirt on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Nice. But
did not work for the A-Train.
Okay.
But if you do buy sunscreen and you get it on Amazon.
Sure, why not?
Assuming they have it. I have no idea if they must sell Copper Tone on or Hawaiian Tropic. Get the Hawaiian Tropic. I don't care if it works or not.
It smells good though.
It smells fantastic.
Yeah.
I ran out. You can't buy it here. I think you can get it on Amazon here, but it's about $400. It's probably the cost of one of your houses in Vancouver. It's that expensive. So I don't. So I usually get it when I'm back home and then bring it over. But so I'm out, and so I kind of miss that smell. It's a great smell.
It is. Yeah.
That sort of coconutty / beach smell.
Yeah, I agree.
Get it on Amazon, click through our site, and help us out. That's all we're saying.
Okay.
All right. What's going on? Besides the weather, which must be good for baseball.
Yeah, we got lots of baseball.
What's going on baseball-wise? How's the kid doing?
He's doing good. Yeah, he's now, you know, playing more because he's playing for the 9-year-olds more often as well. So he's got his 7- and 8-year-old team, and then there's the year up team that he gets the frequent call to. So now he likes playing with the big kids. It's kind of fun.
As he should, because he's probably at their skill level. Then
yeah, oh yeah, so. He's absolutely fits in no problem. Plus he's a giant, so you know you wouldn't even know he's bigger than most of the kids that he plays up with too. So
go up another league, man.
Yeah, might as well. I don't think he's ready yet for pitching.
Right.
With the pitching machine, like the year above him plays exactly the same style, like everything is the same pitching machine and rules wise. The year above that is where they actually start pitching, and
right.
I think there's for sure a big adjustment there because they're stealing as well, which I think is a bit silly. But the biggest problem I think is that the kids with the pitching machine, like what I'm trying to teach Jack, is about, you know, pitch selection. Even within the pitching machine, you know, there's, you know, a variant. Sometimes the ball's a little bit lighter, or there's a little seam that affects the flight, and so you'll get
what people do not consider is that the time between pitches varies the speed, because when you put the ball through, the wheel actually slows down. And it takes a couple of seconds.
No, but this
is
different. This is more of a sling effect. This is just a spring.
They have the spring, really?
Yeah, that's what we're using, is hand spring kind of affected ones.
Like the Iron Mike?
Yeah.
Really? So it doesn't have the wheel, not the ATEC wheel ones?
No, these are just a spring-loaded, you know, pull back and launch. And they're pretty darn good.
I hear, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, there's definitely probably more variation than the ones that come through the wheel. But the bottom line is, you know, like the kids get conditioned to swinging at every pitch because they're generally strikes.
Right.
And for the kids that have a hard time hitting the ball, they get 7 tries. I understand why they, you know, want to try to attempt to swing at each pitch, because there's a pretty good chance they're going to get through 7 and not hit one. Jack hits the first pitch every single time, and sometimes the first pitch is a little bit high around his eyes, and you know, I'm telling him, like, if you don't like the first pitch, if it's high, you can let it go. You're not going to strike out. You'll hit the second or the third, but I'm trying to get him to be a little more selective because that's it. Sometimes it's just not a good pitch, and he can make contact whether it's low or high, but then he can't really drive the ball, right? So,
well, yeah. He's a left-handed hitter.
He's a left-handed hitter. He hits pretty much everything straight back the middle. Occasionally, he'll pull, but more often than not, it's straight up the middle, or he'll go the other way. Like, he'll hit it over shortstop.
See, now for a left-handed hitter, typically, and this is probably the case for him, is with me, I hit left, they tend to like the ball a little bit low, a little down and in. That's for left-handers. For whatever reason, I can't explain it, what the difference between right-handers and left-handers and the difference in the swings and why there is a difference. I mean, if you don't know baseball, maybe you don't notice there's a difference, but trust me, there's a big difference. And, I generally like the ball sort of middle in, right at the knee. That's my wheel. Middle of the plate, obviously, is great, but middle to in, just above the knee, that's kind of my wheelhouse. So tell them don't hit that pitch up around the eyes.
Yeah, that's the one I'm trying to get them to get away from. And usually I find that with these pitching machines, when the ball is off, like so again, you'll get strike, and then you'll get high. I very seldom see the ball sort of shoot low. Like it's usually wherever we set it up, it's usually there or up 2 inches.
Right.
Or 3 inches or 6 inches. Sometimes they'll fling it. It'll fling it over their eyes, and they all, again, they just start their swing the same way every time. So that's where I think there's definitely going to be the pitching adjustment, where you
and
don't see a lot of strikes.
Yeah, no, that's true. Surprisingly, the ball that's up, he tends to ground out to second base a lot.
He pounds it into the ground, ball that's up, yeah.
Which is counterintuitive. You think that ball would go in the air, but it doesn't really work like that.
No, he ends up kind of like more with a tomahawk type angled swing, and then it just boom, right into the ground.
That's oftentimes when I chase a pitch out of the zone like that, it turns into hopefully not a double play, but I try to avoid that. But
And he turned his first double play.
Oh wow! Yeah. At that age,
yeah. But it wasn't like it was a line drive catch and then throw back to first double play. But I've yet to see at his age group anyone make the catch, make the throw, and actually have the wherewithal to know that you can throw back to first and get the guy who's off the bag.
That's impressive.
Yeah, so he did that, and he threw somebody out from shortstop, which is the first time I've seen that at his age group too. So
anything to the left side's a base hit, right?
Yeah, so he threw the kid threw a kid out that can run too. So it was that was my happiest moment as a baseball dad was he made a hard grounder, made the pickup, and you need the right combination of a kid that can make the throw and b a kid that can catch the throw from across the diamond
a kid that's looking.
Well, yeah, and so they had a strong player on first base that was able to make the throw. Although he's only about 3.5 feet tall, so the throw had to be bang on.
Nice.
So yeah, so that was good, and everyone watching was like, wow, because again, you're really hard pressed to make an out at first unless it's right at the second baseman or at the pitcher, or if it goes right to the first baseman, he just steps on the bag. So
right.
That was good.
So. My kid.
Yep.
So that was you yelling.
Yeah, that was me. No, I was just like I was surprised myself. So
good.
Yeah. So baseball's good.
All right. We had another sweep last week. So we're 7-1 now.
Wow. Time to move back up to the big league.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. No. Got to build a. That's a whole nother conversation. But no, we're doing well at a couple hits. Hit a double off the fence, so it can still play. That's the main thing.
You're on a roll like the Blue Jays.
Are they on the roll? On a roll?
They won three in a row. That's as big of a roll as they're going to be on right now.
Oh, that's great. See, we have you can maybe institute this on Jack's team. I have a rule that I instituted last year because I was tired of the year before. Like sometimes we'd go deep into a game before we registered our first hit. And I always hate trying to break up a no-hitter like in the fifth inning or something like that. That's not good baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, here's the deal. If we go through the batting order once, all nine guys come to the plate. If we don't have a hit, everybody owes €2 to the team.
Okay.
And so last year we went the entire season without collecting. We got hits. And that was in the tougher league with tougher pitching, with like really good pitchers. And then this year the pitching is not quite as good. And we've already done it three times. We've gone through and had to pay.
Okay.
So the highlight on Saturday, last Saturday, was we did not have to pay. Both games, I got the first hit of the game, both times. So I was pretty thrilled.
Okay.
Pretty thrilled to break that. Only because I'm the guy collecting the money, and that's a hassle. So I said, forget it.
All right. Well, good for you.
So it's more so good that I didn't have to collect, really.
Right.
That's the positive. That's the takeaway.
Someone's texting me.
Yeah, you want to get that?
Yeah, hold
on. Is it 1997? Hey, what's up?
Yeah, no, it's... No.
What do you call it? Who are those guys? I forget. Hey, Mark McGrath, he's your boss. I don't know. What did you text in 1998?
I don't know. I didn't know how to text.
All right. So couple more big games tomorrow. So we're looking forward for home games. Looking to put on a good show for the home crowd tomorrow. Okay. Another sweep. That's my plan.
Awesome.
Go.
No, I was just going to say. Speaking of baseball and your team, I saw your picture where you can. It seems like a good time to mention your picture. You kind of alluded to it last week. This special. All right.
Did you shoot anything interesting? Yes, Adam, I did. I shot this picture.
Oh, yeah.
this actually wasn't the one I was talking about.
Okay.
The one I was talking about, I had to put on the back burner because we're losing one of the guys. One of the guys on our team is off traveling, and this will be his last game with the team. So I wanted to make sure he got the cover. So the picture that was scheduled to be on the cover that I talked about will be talked about in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But yeah, I shot this week's cover, and so you brought it up. Go.
Yeah, it's cool. It's clearly a take on the Blues Brothers.
Clearly to you.
I did. I don't know what does Spieltag translate to?
Game day.
Okay, game day. I have seen the Blues Brothers several times, but I didn't know that this was the poster. I didn't know their poster was one of these. I know there's this kind of backdrop with the sort of mugshot height sort of chart has been on lots of movie posters.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't associate it necessarily with Blues Brothers, but I don't ever remember seeing the Blues Brothers poster.
You should not remember, because this is sort of a freestyle version of that.
Okay.
This didn't exist. This was I didn't like the Blues Brothers poster. I don't actually much care for.
Okay.
The one of them sitting on the hood of the car and they're very small in the image, and there's what looks like Detroit, but obviously it's Chicago in the background. Not my favorite movie poster, because here's the genesis of this idea is that these guys are brothers, and mm-hmm. their last name is Stolz. Which translates to proud, weird, in German. So in case anyone's thinking there's a play on words here, it's not. It's their actual last name. But I wanted to put them on the cover because we're losing Timo, the guy on the left there.
Okay.
Whose hand says Timo. We're losing him, so I wanted to put them on the cover, and I just didn't like. I thought, you know, I want to, like, a brother theme, like, what do we do? And I was like, well, Rain Man's not going to work. You know, let's Blues Brothers. There you go. But cool. Again, didn't like the actual poster, so kind of did my own in the vein of that movie.
What about Twins?
Yeah, that would have worked.
I don't know what the poster looks like, and who's Danny DeVito?
Right. I think we would have had a long conversation about who would have been. But I included the single photos just to show you how this ended up getting built, because I really every time I shoot anything ever in camera is the best two word phrase that you can come up with.
Right.
I did this in camera because I don't want to sit at Photoshop and Photoshop it. So I said to these guys, I said, hey, Timo, Hannes, do you guys own a black suit? No, boss. All right. Anybody on the team own a black suit? No. Nobody owns a suit. It's like, well, what if someone dies? Come on. Like, what are you going to do? So I own a black suit because apparently I have a morbid fascination. But I actually got married in this suit. And so I was forced to shoot these guys separately and put them together because they're wearing the exact same suit.
Right.
And the same sunglasses, etc. Same hat. The only thing different is the bat. We shot two different bats that I have two of.
Right.
And so I shot them separately, and you can see, I'll post the individual images. This is just them against a white backdrop. And then merged together for the final image.
Yeah, it looks good. The only spot that that doesn't look real is just where the overlap is between the two of them. Yeah,
the jacket.
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that because I was very specific on that. I went in there. You can't tell in the single image. You can't really tell against the background. But my jacket has actually got a little bit of dirt there. And so what you're seeing, that's not a rough edge. I went in and cleaned up that edge.
Oh, okay.
That's actually on the jacket. That's not the background bleeding through. That's the jacket itself.
No, I just mean like my eye sort of thinks that there should be a shadow or something there.
On the overlap?
Yeah, just a little bit on the one guy that's in front. I feel like the guy that's in behind that's tucked in. Yeah, should have a bit of shadow on
no,
his.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Just based on where the shadow is under his armpit, I feel like on the rest of that side of the jacket, there should be just a little bit of...
Armpit.
Yeah, so he's got there's a little bit of shadow there, but then there's no shadow where the guy's arm comes further across his body. We're really nitpicking here.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I was very... Like I reverse nitpick this, and you see the shadow falls from camera right to camera left.
Yeah, and so maybe you wouldn't... I still think you would see a little bit on that lower part of that jacket, but... Yeah. I don't know. And you, again, this is probably unnecessary tinkering, but this is just because this is also the sort of thing that I'm generally thinking about when I do green screen, and I have this in my mind specifically because I'm going to this weekend do a green screen team composite.
Uh-huh.
And I think what I'm going to do is shoot them all in twos. And then do it that way just to avoid the unnecessary hassle of trying to do this. And then I probably will leave little gaps between the sections of two. So each two can be close together, but then I'll have a tiny little gap so I don't have to worry too much about all this stuff. And again, right, because it's a black suit, I don't think that, you know, most people looking at it would never be, again, looking at that detail. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know, maybe my brain here is wrong. It's just that edge for me, it's something seems wrong, but I don't know what. Maybe
the little white edge is a little odd, but again, that I left it because otherwise I was cutting suit out. But see, here's the thing. Here's where this is actually far trickier than I would like. Because I wanted it to be the, you know, against the, you know, the height chart kind of thing.
Yeah.
The police lineup thing. But I don't own one, turns out.
Right.
And so that had to be Photoshop. However, I consider shooting them against like a perfectly lit white background.
Yeah.
And then cutting them out. And I thought, no, I kind of want that shadow. I want that legit shadow on there.
Right.
So I didn't light the background at all. I just backed them up. Right against, like they're very, very near to the background,
right?
So that the shadow that you're seeing now is lit by two lights. I have a sort of basically almost dead center on camera, and from above, I have a flash in the softbox, basically just kind of shooting sort of down a little bit at them, which is kind of why you see the shadow on their like underneath their chin, and then just to kind of bring the shadows up under the hat. Sort of camera left and down, I have a flash in an umbrella, which is what you see reflected in their eyes.
Right.
In their glasses. That's just to bring a little bit of pop-up underneath so we have a nice, you know, even exposure.
Gotcha.
But those shadows that you see of the bat and them are like, you can go to the originals, those are the actual shadows.
Right.
And then, so I basically merged them together, even that out, brought this into the image with the background, and had to basically cut them out so that the background would fit in behind them, and we would still... So I cut them out, but I didn't cut the shadow out.
And wouldn't it have been easier just to kind of, on the white background image you have, rather than cut them out, just basically do the line chart yourself in Photoshop?
Like, what do you mean? Print it on the background?
Yeah. Like, just basically draw the lines. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be rocket science.
Yeah, that would take too long. Then I'd have to draw the numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess if you think that would take longer, it's a race to see which would take longer.
And then I have a whole section of my background that has that on it.
Yeah.
So I'm only going to use this one time.
Yeah, gotcha.
So not
draw it on your background. In Photoshop, draw it on your background. You know what I mean? Just create the lines.
That's essentially what I did.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not following you.
Yeah, no. Then we're on the same page then. So you literally did the text and all that yourself. Like you just basically took that into Photoshop and just created horizontal lines in Photoshop.
Correct. What I did was basically I brought them. I put them together with the actual background.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then I brought that into Photoshop, and then what I did was I duplicated that layer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the layer with them and the background, I duplicated. What I did was I then took the top of those two layers and I cut out around them exactly.
Okay.
And then I created a layer in between those two layers. So there's the base layer with them and the background.
Mm-hmm.
And then above them is the layer of just them with the background gone.
Gotcha.
In between those two layers, I drew those lines and the numbers.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Okay.
Then. For some reason, I thought you had pulled like a separate file that was a height chart, and then you stuck that in. Yeah.
Negative.
Okay, so we're good.
We've gone too far on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nobody's gonna do it anyways.
No one's gonna copy this. Oh, some guy in Czech Republic.
Maybe it's a lot of work, like you said.
But the kicker is these guys are I think the oldest one is 22, the other one's like 18, right? 19. Yeah. They do not know the Blues Brothers at all.
No.
There's no way. And so when I just said to them, come over to my house, it had to be like 8:30 in the morning, like yesterday morning too. It was the only time it worked. They came over and then put the suit on. Oh, and P.S. I'm gonna write your name on your fingers.
Perfect.
Yeah, all right, I guess. You know. Fair enough. And so it worked out anyways.
Good.
This is the cover for tomorrow.
It's a good finished product for sure. Again, lots of work for those who look at it and say, oh, cool, I'd like to do that. And then you can tell them, no, they don't.
You're right. Here's the deal. I've done a lot of this. And because I don't have a green screen, nor would I have even used a green screen.
It wouldn't have helped you here.
With
wanting to have the shadows, you're out of luck. Yeah.
Yeah, you can sort of recreate shadows, but not very well. Not realistically.
Time consuming. I've done it before. Super time consuming. You don't want to create shadows.
No. So ideally, you'd have both these guys have a black suit, first of all. Then you could shoot them at the same time.
Right.
And get out of this. And then you still have some cutting to do. You know, cut out around them and do that. But all in, including shooting time, which was very little. We actually the lighting setup wasn't very difficult with two lights. But all in all, I'll be surprised if I got out under 4 hours.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I did it again, I could do it in two. No, but like recreate it. But you have to kind of. I'm not recreating something that already exists. I'm kind of inventing something new.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, it's a basic premise, but this actual design doesn't exist.
When I'm thinking of my situation and doing a composite team photo with whatever 8 or 9 kids, if I shoot them in twos and I do 4 pictures and then I do all the post-processing, I'm going to say I'll be lucky to get out of there in under 2 hours, probably closer to 3.
Oh, with that many? How many kids? 12?
No, I think there's only 9. We lost one kid, but not so 9 kids. But that's why I'm going to do them in twos. It'll speed up the green screening processing part. Not so much just the taking the images, but actually the pulling the pictures from the background. I figure it'll take me that, and then putting it all together and fonting and all that, probably, 3 hours.
As the font takes like half the time. Like, what's the perfect font?
Yeah, and you start fiddling with it and sizing and all that stuff, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, awesome. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the one in 2 weeks. We don't play next week. We have a home game again, and that'll be the one that I discussed that we shot 2 weeks ago that I hinted at.
Yeah.
So lots coming. Lots of fun covers coming this year, I think.
Awesome.
Also went and shot around I was going to talk about shooting on the playground because we had such great light one day. And so I'll just post a couple of those pictures of my kids we don't really have to discuss.
Okay, post them.
I'm going to post them. It's just kind of some fun in the playground. But the two notable things were the light was kind of nice. It was a little cooler that day, and we had kind of an overcast, but enough so we had enough light, but nice soft light, which is what we kind of always, you know, strive for in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. But the real takeaway was I just, you know, been, I guess, not paying attention. I generally pay attention to this kind of stuff, but get out to go shoot and realize my battery on the 5D Classic is just flashing, saying, "Hey, you're almost dead here." I generally don't put myself in that position. I keep my batteries charged, mm-hmm. but I guess it just got away on me and didn't realize till I left. And you know the 5D, mm-hmm. it's full. Hey, look how empty.
Yeah, that's how it goes. And the battery doesn't last super long to begin with. So.
No. So I found myself out, and this is right at the beginning of the playground excursion, and I thought, oh, there might be some wonderful photos coming. So I went in and turned off the review time from 2 seconds down to zero.
Okay.
So that you can save some battery. So every time you take a shot, you have to physically go and look at it if you want to look at it. You have to push the button, but you can pretty much just leave it. If you know you're exposing well, just go ahead and shoot blind, and you can save that battery. And ended up working out, shot the rest of the day without losing the battery.
Awesome.
Little tip for you.
Great.
All right. Photo challenge this week was evening light, because guess what? It's awesome.
Okay.
The evening light. As it worked out for you, too. I mean, you tell me you have great weather. Mm-hmm. Let's have a look at yours down Spanish Banks is what I'm guessing.
Well, I took one photo at the playground down at Kitts Beach. That's the one of my daughter. So
okay.
It's she's on the slide.
Which is your go-to? Because they're very different photos.
Well, that's what I mean. And based on what you've done, I'll go with the one of my daughter because it's very different.
Okay, let's start
very
with
different
that
type of evening light. So this is kind of like...
She works at a FedEx facility, looks like.
So the slide with the rollers on it. So they have this kind of roller slide that the kids like to play on. So, you know, basically sun's going down. There's the whole playground area for the most part is now in shade. You can see at the back of the image that there's a slash of light like behind the big slide thing. But yeah, we're losing light and it's blue hour. So I kind of daylight balance this photo just to show kind of, you know, how blue the light is. And yeah, she just rolled down the bottom, and then I said, oh, hold there for a second and let me take a photo. There's kids running in and out and all around, so I was fortunate to get 1.5 seconds where there was nobody else in the background. And this is the 5D Classic with a 50 mil lens. I've kind of been leaving the 50 mil on that camera lately, and I really like it. Shot at 1.8. And again, I'm amazed. We talked about the surprise of, I think it was, I don't know, last week when we thought a photo was taken with the 85 and it was actually the 50. This, again, is another photo that looks easily like it could have been the 85. But no, that's how shallow the depth of field gets on that 50 mil when you're relatively close to your subject and you're shooting wide open.
Mm-hmm. And a full frame. If you're shooting with a crop sensor, just throw your camera in the garbage.
Yeah, that too. So
you know, don't waste my time and yours.
The bokeh is not quite the same as on the 85 mil, but still, it's a very kind of very pleasing. And my wife posted this photo and a couple others of the 50 mil and got a few, you know, from the sort of semi camera enthusiast saying, "What lens is your husband using for those?"
Black one.
Yeah, just because again, like it is. It's a very very kind of like simple photo that anybody can do with a little bit of know how.
True.
And get I don't mind, kid helps too. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind those questions of what lens did you use. Some people get all, you know, jerky about it. Does the lens? It kind of matters.
Yeah, it does.
It does matter. Yeah. So I'm always happy. If people ask me what lens did you shoot, I always tell them, you know, I don't take it personally like they're telling me you only got that because you have the lens, but I don't take it like that. Just, yeah, here, get this lens, stand by the window, pretend like you know what you're doing.
Yeah. That's and it. I don't know, and I sort of hesitated at using this image as the evening light because this could theoretically kind of be taken any shade, although the tones, that's kind of why I used it. The color tones of the evening light, like you see, this is a very bluey kind of light versus mm-hmm. the very orangey sort of light. So just as my backup, we don't really have to go into depth on it, but I showed one of Jack where you're getting a slash of that evening orange light. So he's sitting on a bunch of, you know, wood logs by the beach, and you get sort of, again, the sort of orange glowy kind of light at that same time of day. So those aren't taken very far apart in terms of time, just different location. One in the light versus one in the shade.
I like the one of your son better.
Well, and again, it's a more kind of like casual, sort of laid-back photo. And as far as evening light goes, maybe that's more the representation you're looking for. I just like the photo of my daughter better just because of the expression and... again, it's just kind of more true to her personality. Jack reluctantly agreed to do this. This is not a true image. I had to put him there, say, hey, hang in there for 1 minute, and then I will give you a chicken fight on the logs if you cooperate. So this is, again, it's sort of one of those forced photos that's kind of why I didn't really like it. The
See,
Sarah
what
one
I'm,
was
what
not
I'm
forced,
seeing yeah. is 8-year-old Hefner, who's a Louis Pasaglia fan.
Yeah. He loves that orange red combination, which is just dreadful too. Like,
who's his favorite old time lion?
Yeah, he has no old time lion favorite.
Swervin' Mervin Fernandez, obviously.
He doesn't even really, you know, ever watch the CFL. He just likes the logo and the hat. We've been to a couple mm-hmm. games. He has a hoodie that's the BC Lions that he wears all the time too. So he just likes the idea of the BC Lions. But yeah, he could care less about football.
I'm on board with him.
Yeah,
I like the idea as well. So yeah, I like that one better. And this one's about, I'm going to guess location, timing, about an hour from the sunset, probably?
Yeah, about that. We were leaving the beach. I think sunset was about 8:30. This probably was around 7:45, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so another half an hour and you would have been, 45 minutes probably, you would have got that really deep golden with the super dark blue background, which you probably already have a number of pictures of.
Yeah, and our theory was we were going to stay around for sunset, and I would have got that shot, but everyone sort of, we'd been down there for a while, and everyone sort of said, it's time to go back.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, so let's have a look at mine. Here's my son in the evening light out front of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And checking out an owie that he sustained while playing baseball in the front yard, out in the street, actually.
Okay.
So as you can see behind him, my grass is growing. It's not ready for prime time yet. It's not ready for baseball, but it will be. But so for now, so yeah, a little bit of an owie. The sun was heading down behind the horizon and kind of coming in between some of the houses across the street, and that's what gave us this effect.
Cool. Yeah, no, it's a good photo.
The end. Okay.
Simple. I mean, there's not much to really discuss, but again, it is, you see the different color tones, you see, you know, the shadows and that he's in, you know, obviously very kind of blue tones mixed with the very sort of warm tones that hits him with that slash across his arm and his glove and his side of his face. So yeah, it's, again, I think it's a good representation of evening light.
Especially in May and September.
Yeah.
Like that's when you get that really, the real contrast in the blue shadows and the golden light, and I essentially was looking, like, I actually shot this before last week's episode even aired. We had recorded it, so I wasn't cheating. The challenge was issued, but this is the first time in a long time that I've gotten on top of it really early like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And anyway, so I we're out front, and I just noticed it, and I said, wow, like because we hadn't spent that much time in the front yard before, because it used to be, it was full of plants. Like, we had no front yard at all, and so it was, you know, in last November when we tore it all out to put grass in this year. And now I said, wow, like, that, it's a whole new lighting setup for me, and that slash of light coming, and as it kind of moves and goes away from him, he's sitting in the one edge, but you can see it falls off very quickly, like at his feet, and then goes in behind him. And so you kind of get that little effect, and to me, I liked that. And then the shadow across his face—it wasn't your typical just "Hey, look at Daddy" and smile shot. There was a little bit more to it than just that. And this was shot again. I think this might have been the 5D Mark II. Doesn't really matter. But this is the 70 to 200 at 200. So I'm way down the street at an F4 just to throw the rest of that background out of focus. But it falls off in the darkness anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then light again, which is kind of what I like about this, is because there are those different zones of light that we mm-hmm. go through the image as we get deeper.
Nice.
All right, I win.
Sure.
All right.
Well, I had 2, so it's 2-1.
That's true. Oh, fair enough. Next basket wins.
Yeah.
All right, topic today. I want to talk to you a little bit about underwater or waterproof cameras.
Okay.
You've got one.
Yeah.
And? Good?
I haven't used it in about a year.
And
so
mark it down. I won't buy one.
Yeah,
no.
It's tough. I mean, you probably go to the pool, and you have an outdoor pool that you go to regularly. So for you, mm-hmm. it probably comes up more than it does for me. For myself, most of the pools that we go to are indoor, and really it's just not that pleasing to take photos of anyways. So
right.
I guess if you're trying to actually physically take underwater photos, which the novelty of that wears off super fast.
How many can you take?
And none of them, I promise you, are going up on your wall. And if they are, you don't have enough other good photos if that's the case.
Oh, okay.
So maybe there's one. Maybe there's one in there if you get both kids kind of underwater blowing bubbles and somehow managing to keep their eyes open, or I don't know. Maybe there's a photo in there that you would actually post on your wall, but I'm going to say there probably isn't. They're more likely to be the ones where the kids are coming down the slide or jumping through the air and about to splash, in which case you're looking for a camera that will be just above water
mm-hmm.
and you're not worried about getting wet. Then maybe that's the case. But you seem to have no issue with your 4DD going in the water. And since it's still alive, my suggestion would probably be to just stick with that until it dies. Don't invest in something that's purely for this situation unless your 4DD kicks the bucket.
Well, there's more. That's interesting you say all that, because you know, this will be a very short show based on that recommendation.
Yeah. But you can recommend something else.
Stretch it. No, but here's the thing. Here's where I find myself is, I'm not going to shoot pictures of my kid coming down that slide every single time.
Right.
My 4DD doesn't handle video.
Right.
So that's a consideration. And so I've been looking at this and thinking, okay, we do have a point and shoot, but it's the first point and shoot ever made. It takes floppy disks, and not even the small ones. It's the big 5.5-inch floppy disks.
Right.
So it's not that old, but it's not that good. The pictures it takes are not very good by today's standards.
Okay.
In the right conditions, it'll be fine. But so, you know, we want to go on vacation. Maybe I just want to take the point and shoot. You know, like you do with your Mazda RX-7.
Yeah, the little Sony one. Yeah.
Right. And so I thought about it. I thought we go to the beach. We go to the pool. I do want to have a camera I can take to the pool and take in the pool without. I mean, when I take mine in, I do have to consider all the jerk kids who see the camera and want to splash it. Think it's hilarious to splash that camera.
Right.
And go out of their way to, hey, yeah, hilarious. Good times, kid. So I do want something that's going to be waterproof.
Right.
And is going to shoot video. Because turns out my kids like seeing video of themselves. Little narcissists.
Yep, gotcha.
Yeah.
So the 5D's out too then.
I'm not taking the 5D Classic I wouldn't take anyway, because I still use that for pro work. So I don't want to take that in the pool anyways.
Okay.
And then, you know, we go on vacation, you know, maybe we go in the RV or something like that. I would kind of like to just take, you know, go to the beach vacation. I'd like to take just the point and shoot that can handle that.
Yeah.
It can handle the sand, it can handle the ocean, it can handle all of that. So my considerations are, number one, the biggest consideration besides being waterproof, but that's what I'm looking at, only waterproof cameras,
yeah,
is image quality.
Okay. I think then if that's the case, I don't know enough about the new. You probably know much more than I do, because I haven't looked at the new waterproof cameras, the point and shoot variety. You know, for a long time since. And so I think I want to say that I bought the one that I have. I bought 2 years ago. So
yours
I'm sure
is made by.
It's a Nikon.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a very basic Nikon. The image quality is not great.
That's what I understand.
It's fine. The video is good. But the actual stills are not good. So.
Well, the irony with video is that the more and more sharp it gets, and well, the technology advances, we actually don't like it very much. We kind of like that sort of soft video look, and so that's probably why the video on that camera looks fine.
Yeah,
it's more pleasing. But whereas with stills, we're used to something much better.
Yeah, and again, it just they're just not sharp enough. They're just the focus misses a fair amount,
and that's above water.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And again, I find that with that camera, it's good for having, essentially it's a toy. It's good for having a toy, and you might take 10 photos, and maybe three of them are acceptable. None of them are going to blow you away, because again, our reference for comparison is just, it's apples to oranges. Like comparing the 5D Classic with a 50 mil or an 85, you're not getting anywhere close to that. My recommendation would be to buy a used fancy point and shoot. Like if image quality is your concern, like that Sony RX3, like the version 1 or 2, if you can find one used for $300 or $400, then you're not worried so much about what will you break it, will you wreck it. If it gets a splash on it, no big deal. Now that's the camera that I'll use. When I went to the beach last weekend and I wanted to get near the water, that's the camera I used, and the video is fantastic, and the image quality is great. It shoots wide open, especially if you're shooting a wider angle, so you've got way more sort of variables that you can work, because it's got a zoom lens on it, you've got pretty good range. It is, to me, it's the best of both worlds, and as long as you're not spending $1,200 on a new one, or now I think the Mark V is up to like $1,500 for one of the new Sony RX 100s, then you're not going to be too concerned. You're not going to obviously shoot directly underwater, but I wouldn't be worried about getting a splash on it.
See, I don't know that I necessarily want to shoot a ton underwater. Like, I'm not going snorkeling on the Great Barrier Reef anytime soon, but it might be a consideration.
Yeah, if your primary issue is image quality, there's no way you're going to come close to it on any of the dedicated underwater cameras.
Now, that, I've been reading that. Now, so what did you pay for your camera? Do you remember a couple years ago?
It was $300. I paid
$300.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I was looking at kind of prices now, and you can get stuff. You can get stuff under $200.
Okay. Are you talking the underwater new, or what are you looking? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you can get all, checking on the Amazon, you can get under €200, under €200, you can get a waterproof camera. And in my head, and I think you're confirming my bias here, thus you're just throwing your money away.
Yeah,
$200.
That seems like you're going to get what you pay for.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to get an old point and shoot and a Ziploc bag.
Right.
But no, but this is legit. This isn't like happy fun camera. This is like a Nikon or a Canon. They make these models.
Yeah.
But again, they look very basic. They look like the pictures, like you said, like a toy.
Yeah.
Which I don't want it. Forget that. No point in that. Just move on with your day. Now the camera I've been looking at, apparently Olympus makes one called the Olympus Tough.
Okay.
And they just announced their latest model, the TG5, which ships in June. And now this one goes for around €480.
Okay.
Now they all the reviews of the TG4, and this one's one better, so obviously way better. Well, otherwise they would call it the TG4 as well. They wouldn't.
TG4i.
Yeah, the TG4. So it's getting actually great reviews in terms of image quality.
Okay.
But I guess it's more than twice, almost three times the price of one of these low-end ones.
Right.
So I guess you expect that. Now, it's got a bunch of bells and whistles that I don't really care about. I don't care about GPS. I don't care about
Wi-Fi.
Altimeter.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi is built in. I don't really care. I mean, I'm sort of the opinion that, yeah, great. Like, you're on your vacation, so you can take these pictures. They can go right to your iPad. You can view them in the RV. You're blowing your vacation.
Yeah.
You should be out vacationing and instead of doing that. So I the Wi-Fi I really, really do not care about.
Agreed.
But at that price point, I don't think you're going to find a good image quality camera without that. So fine, I consider it a throw-in that's going to break in 2 weeks, and I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But the question for me, and I think you tried to answer it, I don't know if you did, is will I get enough use out of this? Now, if this takes legit point-and-shoot images, regardless of being a waterproof camera, then I might get some good images. Now, it's not going to be like your RX7.
See, that's the key to me, and that's the point that I think, you know, you sort of have to nail home, is that when it comes to, hey, I'm just going to go to the beach, and I just want to take a couple of good pictures of the kids, and I want to pack light, are you now taking that camera? And if the answer is no, forget it. Don't spend 480 euros. So the answer has to be that camera has to be good enough that you're going to take it instead of something else. And be happy that maybe it's not going to produce the same depth of field as a DSLR, but that's okay. But are you going to get exactly really good quality images? And is it going to give you enough versatility? Like what can you shoot that camera at? Is it go to 2.8? Does it go to 1.8? What are you getting? 2.0. So that's pretty good. And is that only at the wide end, or is that all the way?
I don't know if it's all the way through or not. See, that's the thing, is with an underwater camera, a waterproof camera, zoom was not a consideration to me.
Yeah.
I would prefer if it was just a prime lens and like fixed like the Fuji 100 XT, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Those are super popular. Yeah.
You know, no, that's the thing, is if I'm going to spend $1,200 on an RX7, I know it's not called that. I forget what yours is called. Your new version of the RX camera.
It's an RX 100 series. Yeah.
Okay, but if I'm going to drop $1,200 or $1,500 on a new one of those, I'm just going to buy the Fuji.
Right.
Because everyone loves them. I buy the new one. I really do want one. Again, not waterproof, though. Neither is the RX 100.
Right.
So we're talking about something else. But will the Olympus Tough, and it's tough right in the name. Like, I feel like I could get into fights with it. Yeah. What are you looking at?
Yeah.
If that's going to give me great images anyways, and it's waterproof and shatterproof and kidproof and all those things, and shoots whatever it is, the 60p HD video, or it shoots full 4K, so I'll definitely need that.
Yes.
Because I have the full HD, and my kids aren't cute enough.
Right.
Yeah, they wanted the, Daddy, can we get the resolution up on this? This is, what is this, 2015? Come on, Dad. So the answer is no, I should not buy a cheap one. That definitely I do know. I would like a unit that can shoot this, not necessarily 4K, I don't care about, but shooting video, good HD video, where it's not my iPod, because I have the 8 gig iPod, it fills up, and just I'd like to have a dedicated thing with a card that I can pop out and manage the files. If this has great image quality for the image, for the photos and the video, that might be worth the money as it is, or at least most of the way there.
Right.
And then adding the toughness to it and the underwater part could be, considering how much time we do spend at the pool.
Right.
So you didn't sway me.
Yeah.
Well, you swayed me. You didn't discourage me entirely.
No. And again, your situation is a little different than mine. I definitely am not making use of it. And the key error for me, if I had to say there was an error, is that the image quality isn't good enough. Uh-huh. And so mine is purely a toy. Like, it's sure, purely a toy. And I would never think of using that camera over anything else to take a still. Like, it's just not, there's not, there's no point to it. So that's kind of the problem. So you have to really kind of look at that as probably the most important consideration, is will you use it outside of just, again, a plaything in the water? Because as you've seen, like, the 40D has survived pretty nicely, and I'm pretty certain if you got a dedicated point and shoot that wasn't waterproof and, you know, took a little bit of care the way you have with the 40D, you'd probably be much happier and be much more versatile if you just got a camera that did better image quality.
If I get a point and shoot, I'm getting the Fuji, though, which isn't a point, but I'm not taking that in the pool.
Ah, see, there, then it's almost, it doesn't serve your purpose. You need it to be able to not worry about taking it in the pool. So I wouldn't spend the money. You're going to have to see what the used market looks like and see if you can get something comparable for the price. So if you could get like, you know, an RX 100 version 3 for the price of what you would pay for that new Olympus, I would take that in a heartbeat.
I don't know if I want that, though.
That camera is ridiculously good.
Yeah, I'm sure
and
it is.
Everybody the world over will. So again, if you can, it's all about the price point and what you're willing to spend. But a $480 on, or we're talking more than that because we're talking euros, mm-hmm. whatever, 500 euros on sort of a water camera. I think it's like the whole thing is that something that tries to do too much isn't going to do the one thing great. Mm-hmm. And you want image quality. I think you'll be disappointed. I just don't think the specs, the sharp. I don't think the image, the lens could be that great at that price point even.
Well, that's in Canadian dollars. You're looking at around $800.
Yeah.
So that it has to be because you can buy cheaper.
Yeah.
So you can buy it for half that price. And that's where I expect the image to fall off. I think when they're dedicating it, and the reviews are great of the TG4, which is still retailing at 400 euros.
Yeah.
So for me, it's the fact that it's not much less and hasn't already gone down in price, even though you can't get the TG5 yet. If I wait a month, it's only $80 more, get whatever the new features are, 4K. Whoop-ah!
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe I look at the TG4 and save a few bucks. Not sure. Or just tell my kids, hey, dry off, get a photo then.
Yeah. It's a tough one. I don't think there's a right answer. You just again, it really is what appeals to you. And again, the waterproof part of it, unless you're going underwater, to me is a little bit oversold. I mean, these cameras are don't sink them underwater, but I've yet to have any issue, and I haven't taken the 6D in the water. I've taken the 5D Classic in the water many times. I had taken my T2i in the water many times, never had an issue. I've taken the RX100 in the water. Again, mm-hmm. no issues on any of them whatsoever. So I feel like if you're a little bit careful, do we really need a waterproof camera?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've taken them all into waves too, out in the ocean, but also in lakes, and so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's something. It's kind of like, you know, buying the insurance on your camera. Like, it's almost a fear factor that sort of convinces us. Now, if you are a diver, I get it. And you can buy cases. I don't even know, but the RX100 probably, I'm guessing someone makes a waterproof case for it. So if you really, really, really were worried about that, you could probably get yourself a case for it that wouldn't cost you.
Maybe it's a GoPro and a waterproof case.
Sure. Yeah, do that.
Maybe that's the move.
Yeah.
I'll price that out and see where we're at.
Okay. All right. Let us know. Keep us posted.
No, but actually, I'd like to hear from any listeners who have experience with these waterproof cameras, the good ones especially. The crappy ones like Adam has. I've actually shot with your camera at the pool before. It is a piece of junk. Like it's a toy.
It is.
Like you said.
It's what it is. So that if you want to pass it to your kid and you want them to have fun with it in the water, because that's kind of what ours is used for.
But they don't have, but get them a floaty toy, because you're not getting good images. Even your kids are getting bad images.
Exactly.
So don't bother. So I don't want to hear about that. Anybody who has a higher end, like the Olympus Tough, get in touch and let us know. Let me know what your thoughts are and how you like it, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. Challenge for next week. Is our monthly challenge of lens flare.
Okay, and if we're not getting any submissions, if we don't get 10 submissions, I'm quitting the podcast. So don't submit if you...
Oh, don't
if
quit
you,
the podcast.
No, I'm quitting.
I looked today. Hopefully I'm not looking wrong. There's only two.
Okay, I'm quitting. I'm officially... All right. If 1 week...
The hoser, the hoser photo posts, show.
Yeah, the one hoser photo show.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can get 10. Otherwise, I'm officially quitting. So don't post your photo if your intention is to make me quit. Then don't post your photo.
The good news is, due to timing, we're going to record the next episode before this one even airs. So you're already quitting. You're already quitting.
I have to pre-quit because, nobody's cooperating. So this is the kind of threats that I make to my children all the time, and uh-huh. they don't comply. So let's see if we can get.
Hey,
10.
Have you
Just
seen
10.
Annie? 10 have you guys seen Annie?
Freaking lens flares. I don't care if it's the same person that posts 10 lens flares.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Otherwise, hear that? If you don't post it, he's giving you up to the orphanage, Miss Hannigan. Yeah, don't come when I come back here. This better shine like the top of the Chrysler Building.
That's right. All right.
So lens flare it is, and that's it. Do we have to issue one? No, we don't issue one for the next week.
No,
that is
we're
next
good.
Week.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it's next week. Maybe there won't be a next week.
Yeah, that's true. I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
I don't care. They don't. Yeah,
at this point, you better. Yeah, who cares?
Maybe
LensFlare.com.
Yeah. Maybe at adamschwartz.ca, but yeah. don't bother. If you don't post a lens flare, I don't want you at my website.
Whoa, there you go.
All right,
shots
how about your
fired.
Stuff?
Well, you can find my stuff at adamschwartz.ca. It just opened up. Got a real good deal on a used website.
Yeah.
Bunch of dance pictures.
I'm not renewing my website.
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com and the two of us at twohosters.com, where you can find all the links, photos, and everything we just talked about. So that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.